Vox Markets podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 617. It's the 21st of October, 2016. On the podcast today, I have Eric Shea, CEO of MySquare, MYSQ ticker, discusses their new record user numbers, the update to MyChat 2.0, and their more aggressive plan on gaming. I've also got technical analyst Nicola Duke, look at the following charts: ITV, Prospect Oil and Gas, Mayen Energy, that's MYN, Physiomics, PYC, and Sky. Plus, Chris Bailey, founder of FinancialOrbit.com, covers British American Tobacco, their big deal today, Intercontinental Hotels, Whitbread, he mentions, and Sky. Plus, I've got the top five most followed companies on the Vox Markets website in the last 24 hours. A new number one there, and a new number four. And there's a usual suspect in there. Plus, I have the top three most liked RNSs on the Vox Markets website this morning. And today's suggested one for your watch list is Physiomics. So we cover it with a chart on Nicholas. PYC, submitted by Watermelon. And I'll go through the reasons why Watermelon reckons you should put PYC on your watch list in a bit.
The Vox Markets podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Eric Shea, CEO of MySquare. That's MYSQ. Thank you for coming back on, Eric.
Thank you, Justin.
Now, you've had a lot of news. You've been on the podcast a few times. You've had a lot of news, and there's a lot of interest out there. But there are some people, I'm sure, have not heard of MySquare. So please, Eric, can you give us a brief summary as to what you're all about, please?
Absolutely. MySquare is a Myanmar-focused company. We are focused on providing Myanmar language, social media, entertainment, and also we're a payments platform.
Excellent stuff. And on Monday, you released a nice RNS that had gave the shareholders a nice positive lift, I thought. And this was essentially about, it's in three parts, and we'll break it down into three parts as it is. Registered users, MyChat 2.0, and games. So first of all, can you take us through the registered users, Eric, and what's happening there?
Certainly. Our registered users at MySquare has been growing tremendously, and we're very pleased with that. We actually had announced in August that we were projecting having 5 million registered users by the end of this year, and we are actually over 6 million users in as of the RNS that was released just previously, earlier this week. So the user growth in Myanmar has been tremendous. And it creates a very interesting dynamic because there's just tremendous growth in that area. Myanmar has over 52 million people, of which over 47% of that population is 24 years and younger. So there's a huge youth population. And up until as recently as a little over 2 years ago, there were only 2.5 million phones in the entire country. And now there's the number of phones in the country exceeds 38 million phones, and almost 90% of those are smartphones, which is what the market that we target. So as there's been this tremendous growth in that smartphone market, MySquare has been able to expand its registered user base tremendously, and we've done that in the area of chat, in the area of games, and it's created a tremendous dynamic for the company there.
Yeah, that's a phenomenal rise, 6 million registered users, and I'm just reading here, an increase of more than 660% since you listed on AIM in July the 1st, 2015, so you must be super pleased with that.
Yes, we are. We're very pleased with the growth. It's exceeding our original expectations.
Yeah, and the next bit is about MyChat 2.0. Can you explain what's happening there, please, Eric?
Sure. MyChat was one of our original apps, which allows people in Myanmar, of whom only 5% of the population in Myanmar speak English. The rest speak their local language. So MyChat allows them to communicate in that local language. Now, what MySquare did is we provided that as one of our original apps, and that has attracted millions of users on that app. Now, what we started at over 18 months ago was a complete redevelopment of this, and we were doing it to go ahead and provide technical advantages and user features and also features for the actual advertisers that we are targeting. So we've invested thousands of man hours in this, and it's created some very good features for the users. So for example, the data consumption. Right now, under MyChat 2.0, to utilize it, it will utilize less data. So if you're someone who isn't on Wi-Fi and you're using your data plan, the new MyChat 2.0 will not use up as much of your data for you to access it and to send messages and communicate. In addition, the chat engine now is a proprietary engine that we've done, a proprietary technology. So what that does is that goes ahead and works extremely well in some of the rural communities now where you may have spotty coverage. It provides a much more reliable communication device and service for the users. So that's a very positive plus now under MyChat 2.0. In addition, what we're able to do on the advertiser side is we have a new push notification engine. This is something that we've developed internally at MySquare. And what it allows us to do is we can target for advertisers any desired user base. We can do that based on geolocation, on age, gender, interests, activity, the app version. All of these things we can essentially, as the advertisers say, kind of slice and dice that data, which allows companies to make very focused advertisements, which of course are something that the company at MySquare we can charge more for. But also from a user experience, it means they get more ads that are more focused for them, and they do not get any ads that would not have any interest in. It goes ahead and allows the advertisers to not send it to people that they know would not have an interest in that ad. So that's, in summary, you know, with MyChat 2.0, I guess the user benefits are it runs better on the low-end devices, so it allows you to not have to have the expensive phones. You can go ahead and use certain non-proprietary or non-standard Android phones, which currently are not available. It allows you to spend less money on data to chat. You can go ahead and do that with utilizing less of your data plan. And it's a more robust, more resilient chat engine in rural areas.
Excellent stuff. And as far as games are concerned, it says you're now going for a more aggressive plan. Tell us about that, please.
100%. We've been very pleased with how well the gaming has done. That also has exceeded our expectations, and we're very pleased with that. So the company's board has decided to adopt a more aggressive plan, and we are aiming to release two more games in Q4 of this year. So one of those will be Naruto, which is a very successful Japanese comic character of all times. It's a character that's very successful, and that game is one that we believe the youth will go ahead and be very pleased with that game. And one of the things that is very good for MySquare about these games is when we work with the games that we are rolling out in Myanmar, we do not have to develop these games from scratch. There are numerous groups and companies that develop games and then look for firms to be able to release those in certain areas. So what we have is we have licensing agreements with these firms, which allows us to utilize and publish those games in Myanmar. So what that does for us is it reduces our costs significantly, and it also allows us to go through and release the games that we know have been successful in other countries, for example, such as this game has already been successful in other countries already, and now that we'll be releasing it in Myanmar, it gives us it's what I would call a much safer way of using our shareholders' investment, the money, and it allows us to do it in a way that's more conservative because we already have data from other countries and we know what games have been successful. So we're quite pleased with that, and we are definitely pursuing that much more aggressively.
Excellent. Well, you can see why the share price rose in the back of that three bits of positive news there from you. But Eric, one final thing. Here at Vox Markets, we have your page with a big follow button next to your name. And if people hit that, they get RSS straight to the front screen of their smartphone. Now, I do feature on the podcast every day the top five most followed companies. So could you please, in three sort of bulleted points, give someone listening right now who's not following you three reasons why they should hit that follow button, please?
One is we are the first mover in this industry in Myanmar. Two, we have millions of registered users. And three, we can leverage off those millions of users to introduce additional product lines to create more shareholder value.
Excellent, Eric. Lovely to chat to you and speak again soon.
Thank you so much, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Wake.
It's a Friday, so joining me on the podcast as ever, it's the lady with the technical, the Duchess of the Chard. It's Nicola Duke on International Sloth Day, as you informed me there. I didn't know that, Nick.
I only know because of Twitter. I don't know what I'd do without Twitter.
No, exactly. Where would we be if you didn't know that information?
Exactly.
And I just saw a really odd, I don't know if it's real, I saw a really odd tweet with a GIF. And it's a cat sitting down, and just sitting behind it, over his back there, is a sloth. And it's put his hands around his neck and over his head in a sort of friendly, almost vaguely threatening way, but friendly, saying, "I'm cuddling you. If you don't like it, tough." You know, but it's quite odd. I think it's a real sloth and a real cat. Anyway, let's talk about more pressing issues. So we've had the stock submitted. We source these from social media and Twitter, etc., etc.
Yes, let's make this clear, they're not our picks, they're listener picks. They would like analysed.
Cool. All right, so the first one, it's a biggie. It's ITV, ticker, ITV. What do you reckon, Nick?
Yeah, so this made a horrible spike bottom in June. Went all the way down to 141.
I wonder why. What date was that? Let's check. It's the 24th of June.
Yeah,
what
happened that then? Was the Brexit. Anything?
Oh, was it? I didn't realise that. Yes.
We're not going to say bad things about Brexit. Yeah. Anyway, V-bottoms in markets where they make a very sharp down and then go all the way back up again and never go back there are really rare in markets. When you see a spike low, more often than not, it will get retested or at least a good amount of the way back. And I think that's what we're seeing here. There is a chance that we hold a support at about 167, but I think more likely the level, unfortunately, because it's a bit of a way down, is 149. I don't think we'll make a new low, but I think that we'll retest that fib level at 149. And when we bounce, we should bounce all the way back to 220. But right now, there's nothing to say by me here. Nothing.
All right.
So we need to wait.
Yes. The next one then is Prospects Oil and Gas, one of the most highly followed stocks on Vox Markets there, PXOG.
Yeah.
What do you reckon of your chart there?
Right. So it's made a really nice five wave bounce higher, which is bullish, and now we're looking for a two-wave correction. We've had one wave. It is possible, because we're holding the 20-day moving average quite nicely, it is possible that 2.14, it won't go back below that, but there is a good chance that we retrace 50% of the entire rally from May, and that level is at 1.9, and that's quite good because that's also the September high. You know, very strong dollar at the moment, and it's causing some weakness in crude oil, so that would kind of fit. So if it came back to 1.9, that 50% retracement and September highs, I think it's a great buy level.
Okay, yeah, I do hold stock in those. I had Ed on the podcast this week. Ed's the CEO of PXOG, and I bought at a sort of nice level there, bought about 1.2.
Right.
And so I doubled and I sold half, which is I tried that to make that my strategy on penny stocks, because as long as you buy the right price and there's good fundamentals, hopefully you get there, and then you can relax then and just see what happens, because they've got a drill coming up in November 7, and they're starting drilling then. So if it's good news, obviously it'll go higher.
Well, if we look at the RSI, it hasn't quite bottomed. Sometimes the RSI does turn at the 50-50 level at halfway, which is where we are. So there is a possibility that it just makes like a high flag shape and then keeps going higher. But I think that the greater possibility is back to 1.9. Great buy level, though.
Okay, cool. Next one is Mayen Energy, MYN. Used to be Northcote. We can put that sign above the door now saying under new management.
Really?
So,
nice MYN. Looking bottom in this one, too. First time it's, you know, rolled up the moving averages since, you know, in 8-9 months, so looks really good to continue. But if you look through the summer, we went really sideways between 0.025 and between 0.035 is a really obviously congestion zone. And so if this stock makes like a head and shoulders bottom, we'll see a repeat of that. So we'll between those zones we'll go sideways, or it will just say new management, we're on our way. And if so, it'll do one of those two things. I expect it to either go sideways for a bit and then continue higher, or we'll just keep blasting. And then the first hard target is 0.082, which is great. So,
Okay.
But I don't expect, it should not go back. It should not go back below, it won't go back below 0.17. This is definitely bottomed. It's on its way.
All right. You're doing that again. You finish and then you start again.
I'm not going to talk.
No. Okay. Next one is Physiomics. Physiomics, PYC. This has also been suggested as one for your watch list today on the podcast. And it's a clever little company. And I bought a little bit of stock in here because I think it's interesting. They do computational systems for biology services companies applying simulations of cell behavior to drug development. Because you know, when drug companies develop drugs, they spend billions of pounds. And a lot of that is failed, you know, trials, which cost them lots. And so this is a computer version of that. Can tell them, you know, the chances of success for a drug. So it'll cost a lot less for drug companies. They use the computational sort of model first before they, you know, do the testing. It'll save them millions and millions. But it's a tiny little market cap. PYC, it's like a 1.3 million market cap. What do you reckon on the chart, Nick?
This is so ugly, this chart. You almost have to buy it because you think it can't get any worse. It's at the, you know, it's at the low, low, all-time low. So you know, the 2009 low in this stock is 0.041. I would put an alarm at that price, because if it gets back above that, it's on its way, like it's going to go like a rocket. But at the moment, you know, we're just grubbing around back at the March lows. There's a bit of bullish price action. There obviously is some buyers there at 0.02. That would be a double bottom that confirms if we get above 0.04 again. But, you know, yeah, it doesn't look fabulous. But if we got above the 20-day moving average, which if we got above maybe 0.3, that's like the midpoint, then I would say perhaps it's got a good chance to take another run at 0.4. And then if it clears that, we're on our way. But still a downtrend at the moment.
Yeah, well, the thing is, it's got a fundamental support here at 0.025 because they raised just over, £555,000, and they're only a market cap of 1.4 at 0.205. So
that's quite interesting there, because that level then will be defended and people will buy at that same price. Then in that case, there is probably a good chance that it has bottomed here and it's going to hold it. But if you want confirmation that it's bottomed and it's going to go, then 0.04 is your level.
Okay. All right. So next one is Sky. I just realised, though, this is pretty similar to the ITV chart. And I think it's all about, you know, Brexit happened. I don't know why that'll affect Sky so much. But, I mean, what you've got here is the threat of online streaming TV services and Netflix and all that kind against traditional almost. Well, Sky, ITV is traditional. Sky is a bit less traditional. But it's a very similar chart, isn't it, ITV and Sky?
It is a very similar chart, yeah. So, but the difference between ITV and Sky is Sky hasn't fallen back the same way or as far as ITV has. And so there is, if it's just going to make a little ABC correction and continue higher, then Sky has support at 802.
Okay, yeah.
Between 802 and 789, we should make a bottom. So we're not quite there yet, and we've just made a new low, which is a bit annoying, below that September low. So around 800, there's quite a good chance we find support. If we don't, and it keeps going, step aside, because the next, it's going to go back most of the spike, and we should buy at 636.
Wow.
Sorry.
But you know what? That spike down there on the Brexit there went down to 775, and I drew some sort of a rising channel, right, which it went up and then came back to, what is it, from that 775 to 820, somewhere around there.
I've got a spike low down to 560.
Have you?
Yeah, on the Brexit.
Really?
Yeah.
I can't see that on my chart.
And then 766. I think it might, maybe it was an erroneous spike and they've erased it on yours.
Oh, okay. But anyway, so it jumped back up off that. I went up to sort of over 920, something like that. Come back down to 15, 8, 16, gone back up to 9, 20 again. And if you can draw a rising trend, it's just broken that. It broke that, didn't it? 8:37. Which is, you think, well, so you're thinking now, really.
If we make two legs lower, two equal legs lower from the July high, that puts us at 800. That's a very common correction. So if it is just a correction lower and it's going to go higher, we will find support around 800.
Yeah, marvellous stuff. All right. Lovely, Nick. And send me the annotated chart.
I will put my chart with the spike on it. Yes.
Okay. And because that's a bit worrying, that the big spike. And if you send me those, I'll put them on voxmarkets.co.uk/blog. And everyone can see the annotated charts right there. Nick, have a nice weekend.
Thank you.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Chris Bailey, founder of financialorbit.com. Hi, Chris. You all right?
Yeah, all right, Justin. Yeah, not too bad, thanks. Busy old Friday, actually, all things considered.
Yes. What have you been looking at? Because I know you are focused on the larger caps. I sit in the smaller cap arena, but you know, I use guys like you to keep me up to date on the larger caps. So what's happening there, Chris?
So we've got a small deal involving British American Tobacco, a mere $47 billion deal. They've decided to buy out the minority bit they don't own of a company called Reynolds American in the States. Mm-hmm. It's a complex deal in the sense that BATS used to own US brands. They kind of effectively transferred them to the Reynolds business in exchange for a shareholding. And now, 10, 12 years after that, they've decided to buy out the rest of that Reynolds business they don't own. For me, this reflects a couple of things. Look, the first thing is they're spending, all told, $47 billion. And the synergies from it, sort of the efficiency gains, are a mere $400 million. Now that's, if my maths is correct, that's under 1% of the consideration price, which is absolutely tiny. So this is nothing about efficiency gains. This is all about getting bigger, bulking up, and things like that. And this reflects the fact that the tobacco industry, look, it's been a great industry for investors over the last 10, 20 years. Pricing power, sort of emerging market growth. It's dealt with things like the tax increases very efficiently. You know, obviously you've got to have a sort of a view on the moral side of it as well. But from a purely financial perspective, it's been a stunner. But the reality is this area is so expensive for me at the moment. You take a look at the BAT, British American Tobacco share price. You know, it's back up at the sort of circa £50 level. It struggled there before historically. Imperial Tobacco, obviously the other big UK play, that struggled north of £40 a share. You know, these are loved, have been successful investments, but I have to say, I kind of feel this big deal is the last throw of the dice. It's sort of, we can't do anything else, so why don't we just bulk up for the hell of it? So that's BAT today. The shares are up because, you know, it's something which investors might get excited by. There's a bit of accretion and stuff like that. It's money's cheap at the moment, so any deal seems to be accretive. But I have to say, it feels like the last roll of the dice, the reflection of the fact there isn't much growth anymore. Yeah, pricing power's good, but they're struggling to figure out what the next trick is.
Yeah, and I don't know, I mean, I don't know if they say anything about this, the figures of the amount of people smoking. I know in the Far East so much, there's still sort of a massive market there. But I mean, definitely in the Western world, you know, everyone's against or trying to stop smoking. Are they trying to switch into e-cigarettes and all that stuff? Are they doing all that?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they're doing all of that. They do smokeless. They do all of it. And my guess is over time, actually, some of the liberalisation of in quotes, soft drugs will also see attractions to the big cigarette companies. You look at what's happening in Colorado. There's no doubt the cigarette companies have the right distribution mechanisms for stuff like that as well, rightly or wrongly. There is a dearth of growth. But I say they've got this great pricing power. It's an addictive substance, and that's why it's been a great investment. You know, when you put sort of de facto addiction with strong cash flow, the things kind of work together. It's been a real attraction for investors. The trouble is, it's been a very safe place to invest, great dividend yields, great share price appreciation. But the trouble is, it becomes a consensus buy and a consensus hold. Investment managers, big institutions, they're chock-a-block full of these things. And the trouble is, I'm just not quite sure where the marginal buyer is. So I guess what I'm trying to say is, for the old individual investors, look, you've probably got sitting on a massive gain on these stocks. Yes, they pay you a good yield, but just maybe it's time to be thinking of moving on out and looking at something else.
Yeah, and it'd be interesting to see if they can close above 50 pounds 81 pence, because they stalled there in the last couple of weeks and a couple of months back before they also tried to break that, like you said, and they had a bit of an issue. So we'll see if they close above that. Be interesting. What else are you looking at, Chris?
Yeah, the other sort of big kind of FTSE number today is Intercontinental Hotels. They've come up with sort of a trading update, but it's a really good guide into the world economy. And the bottom line is this, that something called RevPAR, that's revenue per available room, that's not growing as fast as it was early this year or last year. So that's sort of rolling down, basically reflects sort of suppressed growth in the global economy. No great surprises there. Look, here's my thoughts on IHG. Last year, they turned down a whacking bid, and the management team thought they could add extra value, and maybe in the fullness of time they can. My observation for shareholders is, you know, you should have bitten off, in my view, that bid, should have bitten the arm off that bid, because frankly, the shares have not got anywhere close to that kind of early mid-30s, £30 share price that the shares are trading at the time of the purported bid last year. Again, they've kind of failed to sort of breach that level. They're sort of rolling back down now. As I say, suppressed global growth is never great for this company. It's an all right business, Crowne Plaza, Holiday Inn. They've got perfectly good brands. The trouble is, sometimes they should have taken the bid that they were offered, and certainly shareholders should. I'm afraid, yeah, sort of dull trading here. If you have to buy a sort of a UK hotel centre stock today, I'm much more excited by Whitbread below 40 quid. Much more interesting. Plus, you've got Costa Coffee and all the coffee excitement and related for free there as well.
Yeah, okay. And I saw you tweeting yesterday. There was Sky at their Investor Day, didn't they, at their centre there in where is that, in West London there. And ironically, on their Investor Day, where they got all these big guys coming out saying, oh, yes, we're so strong in Germany and Italy, and we've never been as strong as we are now, their share price was down over 3%. Yeah, what's going on?
And when I last looked, it was down again a touch this morning. Look, this is a classic case of, I think, the brokers getting it wrong. And, you know, it's a constant refrain from me. I know that actually institutional investors are biased and constrained in all sorts of strange ways. And individual investors can actually do a better job if they're kind of savvy and forward-looking. And I think Sky is building up into a big anomaly here. I'm not quite sure what the institutional investors wanted, sort of song, dance, I don't know. But they were unimpressed yesterday. I think they wanted the company to come out and say, look, guys, we're going to really keep our content costs down. We're going to give you massive cost synergies from integrating our UK ops with Italy and Germany, etc. To be honest, they did all of that. I just don't know what the brokers wanted beyond that. So I think this is an anomaly, an opportunity for me. Scuttling around the sort of the where we now 8:30s or something, I think is deeply attractive. For me, you've got a quick trade back to that 9 quid level. That's one element. But actually, when I run the numbers and look for sort of some sort of fair medium term value, I'm getting into the sort of £11-12 range, i.e., a much, much bigger appreciation than just a trade. So I think there's something for everyone here. Disliked by the brokers, but liked by the public. Great pricing power. They reiterated all of that. Good looking content. Balance sheet getting better. And you never know, Mr. Murdoch one day may come back and decide he wants to own it outright. We'll see. But yeah, I have to say, Sky looks in FTSE 100 terms, I have to say that's one of the more interesting stocks at this moment in time.
Yeah, well, it was the biggest faller on the FTSE 100 yesterday. And as I'm looking now, again, it's down 0.8%. Then what is it by? 8.18.
Yeah.
And yesterday I saw an update, just market roundup email, and it said Sky declined as it unveiled more details of its mobile service, saying it will shortly start registering interest from customers. Well, that's not a reason to fall over 3%.
That was small beer in the wider scheme of things. Look, we all know about quad play and triple play and all of those sorts of things. You know, Sky is all about pay TV. It's sort of a little bit about broadband and related, and not so much about the telecoms, but they bundle them in because they know some people might want them. But, you know, it's a low-cost operation in that sense. The pay TV and the broadband is much more important. But this is what you get with sentiment, Justin. You know, you and I talked about EasyJet for 2 or 3 weeks in a row, and as that share kind of cut around the sort of the sub £9 level, kind of interesting how as people get a bit more comfortable, the share solidifies up, and suddenly before you know it, you've seen a 5% increase in the share price, and you know, potentially a lot more over the next few weeks and months. So, you know, this is what happens. The darkest hour is always before the dawn. My impression is Sky shares, I'll be buying a few today.
Yeah, do you know what? Just one final thought. I mean, I assume the pressure's coming from, there's a lot. I mean, Netflix came out with a good figure a while back, 2 million sort of registered viewers they're expected to get. They got 3.2 or something. And I think this on-demand, online TV, there's a lot of pressure coming from that. And I think until Sky can sort of show decent figures in an update here saying it's not really affecting us that much, then I think they'll continue to sort of, you know, bounce along around that £8 level. And but, you know, until they show those figures, I think it's a good deal here. So anyway.
Yeah. And until my obsession on Netflix is burning a bunch of money, about $1.5 billion at the moment. Sky's cash generative, pays a good dividend, circa 5%. It's chalk and cheese. Sure, we know there's a multiplicity of different channels and options and everything else, but Sky have raised their game, and things like live sport and original content drama, they're the sticky things. What isn't sticky are all those kind of run-of-the-mill programs, which you know, you can find on a variety of other channels. I'd say Sky's in a good position here. I think it can coexist quite happily with Netflix, and you know, we'll see how it goes. But yeah, we'll see. It's certainly, numbers I think are getting a bit better, and the stickiness of their product was phenomenal, and that came across yesterday as well.
Marvellous. Chris, thanks very much. Speak next week.
Have a good one. See you soon.
Okay, it's time for the top 5 most followed companies on the Vox Markets website in the last 24 hours. On the weekend podcast, I will in the blog there update the last 7 days most followed. But these are in the last 24 hours. At 5, it's there again. CloudTag, CTAG. At 4, by the way, obviously, an interview with Amit Ben-Haim on Tuesday, CEO of CloudTag. At 4, it was one for your watch list suggested yesterday. Borders and Southern Petroleum. BOR is the ticker. At 3, Georgian Mining Corporations. I chatted to Greg there, the CEO and the MD, recently. Was it yesterday or the day before? I lose track of the days. GEO is ticker, G-E-O. At 2, I talked to the CEO on the podcast earlier in the week, Tony Gilby. Talou Energy, T-L-O-U. And at number 1, brand new. I've not seen it in the top 5 or anything for a while. But it's a brand new number 1. Premier African Minerals, PREM. Well done there, guys. Done well there. All right. Here are the top 3 most liked RNSs on the Vox Markets website this morning. Probably explains, actually, why PREM is number 1. Because it's in the top 3. At 3, it's Premier African Minerals, their RNS. Update, current diamond drilling program. At 2, most liked, was Jubilee Platinum, JLP, Platinum Projects Quarterly Update. And at number 1 today, I do hold stock in this company actually, Providence Resources, PVR, and a commercial court ruling. And I covered this with Zach this morning. So they had a fine there. They'd put aside, they'd allowed for, I think, about £3.2 million of fine. And they've been fined £1.1 million. So nice there, a saving of £2.1 million, I think, if my math is correct. Yeah, check out my math. All right, today's suggested one for your watch list is Physiomics. PYC is the ticker. Submitted by Watermelon. I do like a watermelon, you know. Yeah, there are other melons available. You know, I'm not trying to skew your buying ability towards that. But watermelons, they are nice. They're the classic, aren't they? When you think of melons, it's the most popular. Let's be honest, people think of that. I reckon all the other melons are jealous of the watermelon. All right. Physiomics, what does the company do? It's a computational systems biology services company applying simulations of cell behavior to drug development to reduce the high attrition rates of clinical trials. And there's a stat. I'm going to dig it out and I put it in this entry. There's a stat here. So I did buy a little bit of stock in PYC. I did a research. And the savings, you know, big drugs companies can make by using their computational model is phenomenal. You know, because they burn several billion dollars they spend on drug trials, on one drug, trying to get through the market to a commercialization. And a lot of these fail. So this saves a heck of a lot of money. How many shares does the company have in issue? 5.7 billion. What's the current price of market cap? It's 0.025, market cap 1.4 million. It's a tiddler. What revenue and profit loss did the company generate? For the six-month period ended 31st of December, the interims, turnover was 175,000, operating loss of 147,000. How much cash or debt did the company have? They had 179,000 in the interims, that's for the period ended 31st of December, and they raised 550,000 on the 21st of September at, in fact, the current share price, which is 0.025 pence. List three reasons why people should put this company on their Vox Markets watch list. Number one, announced on the 16th of May that it signed a further extension to its virtual tumor project with a major global pharmaceutical company. Reason two, 30% free float as of the 10th of 2016. RNS on the 21st of 9 states there was strong investor interest in the new company, management and clinical version of the company's virtual tumor technology. And three, looks great on risk-reward basis, technical analysis basis, and fundamental basis. Oh, yeah, there's all three there. All three pillars of investment there covered, according to Watermelon. Thank you very much, Watermelon, for suggesting that. And by all means, if you want to do some further research, just search for PYC on Vox. Click the follow button and you get RNSs. And of course, you'll see obviously previous RNSs there in the news stream. If you know of a company, please, I'm clean out of these. So for Monday, please, if you go to voxmarkets.co.uk/blog and just hit one of my blogs there, open that, and down the bottom there, you'll see a question saying, do you know of a stock that you think should be on people's watch lists? Then click here and fill out the form. It takes 5 to 10 minutes. Depends on the amount of research you put into it. The more, the merrier. And I'll feature it on the future. It could be Monday. Who knows? Have a nice weekend. Much appreciate.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.